You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Coach Unplugged. I'm so happy you decided to join us today. Before we jump into the podcast, I'd like to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish. The number one shoe machine on the market. We own three of them. And I can tell you personally, even before they became sponsors, their customer service is second to none. Every time I've had any issues with any of my machines, going back to the way old ones, they've always taken really good care of me. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com. Oh, and mention us and they'll give you $450 off. Mention Coach Collins or Coach Unplugged, they'll give you $450 off. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. We always tell our players that they should be working on their craft. I challenge you to work on your craft. Come over, join a community of like-minded coaches who want to make this game better. It's the reason I started Teach Hoops, is to help pay the bills for all these podcasts, but even more importantly, to give back to this great game that has given me so much, and to set up a roadmap for you to be successful, not only on the court, but off the court. And we offer a 14-day free trial. So come over and kick the tires around, see if you like it. And let's head off to the podcast.
Okay, you're the purple team, right?
Yeah, the blue, yeah.
Yeah, blue or purple. It's blue. I guess it's dark blue. Okay, so I wanted just to see it again because I hadn't watched it in a while.
Sure.
This team is not – okay, I'm going to use stats lingo, but this team is not like they're not that much better. Their standard deviation is not that much bigger than yours.
I agree.
Okay. Because that's someone outside looking at it. It's like,
yeah.
Usually I can watch film and it's like, ooh, that team's a lot better.
Right. No, they have an established program. They've had a JV program for a long time.
Okay.
And so they just kind of roll through. They have an established system. And they play a lot more physical than my team does, typically. We were better this game than we have in the past. And then lastly, they have a confounding press that has given us in the past, but we figured it out this game.
I had to go back and look at my notes and stuff. So the pressure bothered you.
Yes.
It's always. Like, oh my God, there was once I got to find my notes, but there was once I was watching it and I think your point guard, you were going this way and your point guard picked it up like between the top of the key and the volleyball. I'd go, oh my God, don't, what are you doing?
Yes.
Like, oh my God, this is like, I literally wanted to like grab him and go, what are you, that is like the worst thing you can ever do is do what you just did. Like I would, if I was watching film, I would have like rewound. No. It's like, oh my God. So, you probably feel the same way, but that's the way I feel. And then they like the dead spots right over half court.
Yes. I mean, so I was, I had significant freshmen and sophomores last year, and the sophomores, their freshman season, we only had one win. Okay. And so, yeah, but you're absolutely right.
Okay. So I think film's a wonderful thing, and it's like me saying that to you is totally different than how I would have said it to them. But yep. It would be like, I mean, okay, you're basically – I always use it as like a war analogy. You literally – we just took fire from the enemy, and everyone left the foxhole. Like, yep. Literally, you just ran that way. It's yep. Like a retreat. I would have found a clip or something on, like, Gettysburg or something. I said, this is what's happening. Like, they're retreating. Stop it. Because to make fun of it, because I'm not really picking on the kid.
It's yeah, that's fun. Right.
Because yeah. It's similar to when you learn how to dribble. You always go to your strong hand, always go to your strong hand. It's like they just don't have in their toolbox. It's like, I never can do that. I you can never do that. And the same thing with that, like, dead zone right over half court and right before half court mm-hmm. is like, I told them, I said, I'd rather have you throw it off our backboard as a shot than do that, because they're going to get a layup. They're going to trap you and get a layup. So the kids that were doing that, I'm assuming, are older now.
Yeah, sophomores and juniors.
Okay, so that's good, because you could tell it was youth. You yes. can also tell you're young, because there's such a – it's not as pronounced in high school as it is in college, but you can definitely tell – like this 11 kids and old for the white team is a much older kid.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I don't know what he probably was a junior senior. And then you got these ones that their arms are like, you know, like toothpicks just cause they haven't grown into their bodies. It's not their fault.
I know.
Yeah. That's why I tend to have big guys that can move up faster than guards. They tend to get thicker faster. I don't know. Anyway, that's a side note. So their pressure definitely caused you some problems. I thought you were in this game, at least I thought you were attacking pretty well. I got to grab my notes. Where did I put those? So you're thinking press back, which I think is a wonderful idea. I think that's what you're thinking, right?
Yeah.
Cause I think you press back because it's going to work on two things. I think you're going to be able to, I don't think a lot of people probably do that to them. And I think, it's going to get you better at your press break if you are a pressing team.
Right.
That's what I've always found. My teams at press are, no one can really press us.
Yeah.
Because that's all we're working on, you know, it's in practice. We're working on our press and press break and blah, blah, blah. Shooting wise, give me percentages for you guys and them from like three.
So in this game specifically, you know, the short guard, 14, he was on fire.
Right. I think he hit a couple from the corner, if I remember right. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he saved us this game. Everyone else was pretty cold. So I would say he was probably at 40%.
His takes a while to get off, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. He pushes it, and it's a slow wind up.
It is. That's especially the So, I mean, that's the problem with a kid like that is, like, if he gets hot, I'm going to face guard him, like, cause he can't get it off. Yeah.
And then, but everyone else was probably like 25 to 30%. And my best player was, I don't know, he's except when he was attacking, he was probably around, you know, 15 to 20%.
They seem to hit some big ones at the top of the key in that top of the key area.
Yep.
Yeah.
They know that, you know, my best player, what was pretty much all I had in terms of offensive creator.
Right.
And so they would focus on him with, like, they would step in for charges. He got one or two charges that game, which put him into foul trouble. And he just never got into rhythm.
Right. No, I mean, and the thing is, I think that's where he's got and I did see that there were times where they just broke. Those were the kind of shots that they seemed to get. At least when I remember watching, it's like, it was like that little area was tend to be the kick. So here's, what are you thinking? What kind of press are you thinking? That's a good pass.
For us, what press did we have? We did a lot of our 1-2-2 kind of inspired by Nova, you know, Jay Wright's Nova. And then I would try and save my big man, my 6'7", and go man press also. Okay. So for this year, we're going to do a lot more intense man and kind of run and jump type of thing, and then fall back to the 1-2-2 to kind of as a mix. But I have a lot more depth this year.
You do. Okay. That's good. I'm just letting it run as we're talking. What percentage of their points were in transition? It seemed like it was pretty high.
Oh, it is. And yeah, I mean, I would say probably 3/4.
So have you thought of like something to just slow them down? Like even a half court or a 3/4 court? Cause I'm just thinking the last two possessions I just saw, they basically got layups.
Yeah. So just like form a wall.
Well, you're slowing them up. Like they're wanting like, okay, you better make that. Jeez. They're trying to get it down before you even set up. Like the last four possessions that we've watched, they've tried to get the ball down the court and take a shot before you can even set your defense up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You don't need a shot clock in this game. Like, I mean, they want to get that thing and go. So I think you want something to slow them down. So, I mean, especially if you're switching defenses and you're playing like a zone, you're playing some man, you know, mm-hmm. you're doing something, you know, you got to get back and like protect the fort at this point, because that's what they're doing to you. Like, you know what I'm saying? Looking at my notes, I wrote, I think in capital letters, get back. Like there might be a point in the game, like the last couple of possessions, we're just going to run. As soon as they get the ball, you're in a full sprint to the lane. Yep. We're in a 2-3 or something just to slow them. Cause I think you want to change. They're in rhythm right now and you're kind of out of rhythm.
Okay.
You know what I mean? If you go back and watch, it's like someone outside looking in. It's like you can kind of – like they're making you play against their half-court D, which is harder. You know, he's going to come up and set a ball screen. Yeah. So, I mean, does he hit that one? He does. I know he hit one in the corner earlier or later. So, look.
Yeah, that's my pressure.
Yeah, like they're getting those. And it's the difference between – you know, the average looking guy and the hot guy. Like the average looking guy's got to work a lot harder. You're having to work a lot harder than the guy that's like all the girls are talking to, kind of thing. You always use analogies that high school boys will understand, but they'll understand something like that.
Yep.
It's true. It's like you're having to work on their half court D and they're getting it. Now, this is the kicker, is they have more difficulty when you can slow them up. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yes. That's why I think like a 2-2-1 or something you're not even running it. Like they're dribbling through your stuff.
Right.
So you want something that's just going to like take away lanes and, you know, and maybe you're running it 20%, 30% of the game, but it's like, it's just enough to slow them up. And it's like, oh crap, they're running a 1-3-1. We got to pull it out. We got to figure out what it is. Or we're playing pack line, or we're playing 2-3, and like we're gonna let you shoot the threes, because if you're on, but if you're off, you're not getting the rebound. Like, and then they miss two or three of those threes, and then all of a sudden they get frustrated. I mean, I think that. I mean, they're doing what I mean. I love games. I love teams that will just go and we'll get, you know. And then I think you're countering them by trying to get the ball up faster. Like you said, you want some fast break drills and things like that. I can give you some examples of that. But that was my gut. I mean, I had to dig out my notes and my binder, but that's what I remember. It was really feel like they're really going and you're having to work harder for what you're getting. And the game was close.
It was.
Because your guy was on fire, that helped. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was even without my, you know, my two best players in the first half.
Right.
Two or three players really step up that game.
Yeah, I mean, so I've watched some game film where it's like, ooh, I'm not sure what – I mean, your guys compete, so I like that.
Yes.
See what they're doing to you?
Yep.
That's what you
kind of – we completely changed our press break for this game because because of what they've done to us all the last, you know, last two or three games that we've played them over the years.
Right.
The way they, you know, move their press. Yeah, we had to, cause I use, you know, just sideline, you know,
yep.
sideline middle back.
Yeah.
For the typical one from Shaka Smart, you know, I know others, yep. I mean, it's a one, but yeah, this one was kind of like rotate through the middle and then come back to help.
Yeah. So even look at what, so watch this. So I think this is good. So what's going to happen here is he's going to shoot these and then they're going to set up their stuff. So I think this is the game in kind of a nutshell. Mm-hmm. So they are going to set up something that kind of freaks you out a little bit and slows you down. Like if you wanted to run, it would be hard. It would be hard to do a Shaka thing on this one. You could do it, but you would have to get that ball out of bounds so fast that they'd have to. So it freaks you, but you turn it over for, I think you might throw it out of bounds or something. So then you're able to set your stuff up and they don't like it. You know, they weren't able to get into the paint. So watch. So see, there's, what are they running? A 2-2-1 right now? Yeah.
2-1-2.
2-1-2. So yep. Your guy's kind of like, oh crap. All right. Ball goes out of bounds. All right. Now watch what happens when you guys get back. So you're going to get back now and able to set up on defense and they can't run their transition. These officials aren't bad either. I wouldn't mind having these guys.
Yeah, these were better than.
Yeah.
And it's, San Antonio, Houston, and Dallas have a lot better officials than we do here in Austin.
Yeah. See, they couldn't get into the paint area. So right. It's like, I think if you.
I think this is most of the time we would run a point zone, you know, Dean Smith's point zone.
Yep.
With my big guy, because he's a borderline savant defensively. I mean, he just calls out the plays. He rotates perfectly well. He communicates it. And he can cover everyone else's mistakes.
And he's behind everybody. That's perfect. When your big guy can do that, he can direct everybody.
Yep. So what's the, from your perspective against this team specifically, the pluses and minuses of getting back and so that the you know, defend the paint versus pressing them.
Well, I think you change up on this team. I think this is like the typical Northern Wisconsin team where they're gonna do everything really well. They're gonna have a great youth program. They're gonna try to out execute you. They're gonna try to I think you have one of your assistants that's sitting there kind of track like what's working and what's not working.
Yeah,
I started doing that about 4 or 5 years ago, and it's helped me so much. Because my sense is something's working and it's not, or my sense is something's not working. I remember this season, it was like we were in maybe our matchup, and I wanted to get out of it. And my assistant coach turned to me and goes, Steve, we've stopped them 7 straight times. Now, but – he goes, don't get out of it. It's working. But it was my sense that it wasn't working because maybe we weren't doing things offensively. It was like my senses weren't the same. So we also set a rule that if they scored like 2 or 3 straight times, we got out of it. Like automatically. It was an automatic change up. We got to get them out of rhythm. And it worked really well. So I think with this group, I think you definitely want to press on me. You want to have two types of presses. If things are going well, then you maybe want to be more aggressive, but then you also want that press that's going to slow them up like they were kind of doing to you. I think you want both of them. I think you have to do against a team like this. I think you have to do both of what we just said. I think you have to press at times, but then there's times where you just got to get back and pack it. That foul on a drive. Oh my gosh. This team's really good at finding seams and attacking. They how many free throws did they shoot versus you?
It was a lot. And they're very good free throw shooters too. That's I think their free throw percentage in this game was like 80%.
So here's my the game. That's what the game has become. It's like shoot threes or attack the rim. They're I mean,
yeah.
you can take one of those away easily by retreating and just getting back and packing, especially mm-hmm. if you got a big guy to protect the rim and move everyone.
Yeah.
So it's those 4 or 5 seconds. Like, you were able to get the ball inside.
Yeah.
That was a youngster, I'm guessing.
Yeah, he's a sophomore.
Yeah. You can tell by his body. Yeah. It's what I refer to as the newborn giraffe syndrome. Like,
Yeah. Like
they just were born. It's like they can't, like, they don't know how to.
I don't think he's ever seen a weight room either.
Yeah. The problem is, and the thing is, to be honest with you, a kid like that's not going to get, he's going to get strong. He's not going to get big. Like,
right.
His body's just, so that's, you know, that's what I tell him. It's like, you're just going to get strong enough. They're not going to push you off the block. Like right now, I think he posts them up. Yeah. That doesn't happen. If you get stronger, you're not going to be like, and then you say, you're not going to be like him, but because your body type, you haven't stopped growing. That kid could grow too. Cause that's the kind of body that keeps growing. No, but I think personally I would do both of them. How often do you change up defenses?
Oh, before last year, I would switch up defenses based on makes and misses. But that confused with the team a little bit too much last year. So, I by the time the playoffs come around, I have 6 or 7 defenses because I keep layering it and adapting it.
I think that's really good. Yes. And I bet that freaks out teams.
It does. It's great. And I can do that more this year because of, you know, my defensive.
Well, you also have the best thing about a sophomore is they become a junior. Like, yeah. I mean, I'm telling you, I mean, there's obviously savant. I mean, there's kids that like come, I mean, I've had them too, that come in and they're a freshman or sophomore and they play like they're a senior. I mean,
yeah.
I have a senior this year that came up as a sophomore. He played like he was a senior when he was a sophomore. There's those exceptions, but you just give up. You can't give up so many layups. Were they running flex there?
It was a variation of it.
It looked like it. Yeah. So do you have like a switching man?
They don't switch very, very well. So I halfway through the season during our Christmas tournament last year, I just switched over totally to a hard hedge and forced him.
And did that help?
It did. It helped a lot. And part of it is because at this level, there's not a lot of great, secondary ball handlers.
Okay.
And if we can form that initial trap off the hard hedge, then we can bottle them up. And, you know, weak hands are significantly weaker than I remember when I was in high school. Weak hand ball handling.
Yeah. I mean, so that would be part of the issue too, especially with some of the press break stuff. You know, when I've had one ball handler, I didn't let many other people dribble very often. Ooh, they called that. Nice job.
Yeah.
That's like the most undercalled thing ever.
Yeah, that quick carry.
Yeah, it's like – there's kids that do it so fast, though, that they can't see it.
Yeah.
Ooh. I mean, you're getting the ball. You're getting it right where you need to get it.
Yeah.
So what was the – well, I forgot at the end. What happened? Was it like –
So no one was hitting except for my 14. We stopped rotating the ball. That was the big thing in the first half and the third quarter. We did an excellent job of swinging it back and forth.
Right.
And then that stopped partially because, you know, my senior, I had enough fouls left that I could play him more and the ball stuck in his hands too frequently. And so the ball stopped rotating. And then, which was more contested shots, so we missed the shots. And then from there, they were able to overcome, you know, the
yeah. So let's say I'm gonna throw something at you. You play quarters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So fourth quarter, 3.5 minutes left. You're up. Yeah. You're up four against this team.
Mm-hmm.
What do your boys do?
3.5.
I'm just saying that's where you want to be. That's what's going to happen the first time that you beat them.
Yep.
Is that's going to happen. You're not going to be up 25. You're going to be up 3 or 4.
Right.
With 3 or 4 minutes to go.
Yeah, I'd get back and defend the paint.
So I think you in your head have to think, okay, what am I going to do? Because this is what's going to happen. This is I can remember back to when I was kind of like one of the – there was a team in our league that was the team I needed to beat to kind of go to the next level. I knew that. And it took a couple of years. And then eventually I remember that scenario, like, okay, we're up. So how are you going to – because they're going to be freaked out too, especially if you haven't beaten them. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, they're going to rush back. Yeah.
So you got to think about how you're going to defend it, how you're going to sell it to them. And, you know, both offensively and defensively.
So nothing easy. Defend the paint first, run them off the 3-point line.
Yes. Don't give them an easy foul attacking the rim.
Yep.
Be ready for pressure because they're going to be panicked on the other end if they've always beaten you. Trust me. Yeah. So the 3 can become 13 very fast if you execute, especially if you're in the bonus and things like – there's things we don't know what the scenario is at that point.
Sure.
You know, the worst thing that can happen is like one of your guys comes down one pass and shoots a 3.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. I was up speaking of that, one of my sophomores last year, and he's the starting quarterback for the team too. And we were up 6 or 8 on one of our rivals, and we didn't beat him at all the two years ago, and then we swept him last year. But we were up 6 or 8, and he shoots within, you know, 5 seconds of getting the ball across the half court with 2 minutes to go, and we lost an 8-point lead. I was so
like that. Yes.
He turned over the ball one time, missed 2 layups because he just rushed it. Like, man, this is like just running out the clock in football.
Right. So here's the reason I asked that question is because I just remembered this, is that the discussion you and I had, we have as a team, first of all, like not the specific player one, but the like, okay, so here's the way I do it. When we're up 5 with 3 minutes to go, here's what I'm planting that positive, like, when it happens and they take a 30, I come over and I said, told you so. It might not be exactly 5, but I'm going to say, you're playing, they're teenage boys. You're playing mental games with them.
Yeah.
Like, we've been here. And then what you have to do is do that in practice.
Okay.
So because then you can go, then you're drawing. Bo Ryan was the king of this. That's why every situational stuff, they were so good because they had done it. But you have to do like, okay, we're put 3 minutes on the clock. We're up 5. And then you put your starting 5 out. You put your other ones and then you rotate whatever. But then you go, all right, what are you going to do here? Let's do it. And then show them what 30 seconds feels like. They have to know what running the clock for 30 seconds feels like.
Yep.
Because the other team's going to foul. They're going to be panicked. And then we refer to it as a score, stop, score. If you do that with 2 minutes to go, you win. You can go the other way too, a stop, score, stop, depending on where you are. The game is – this is the stats teacher in me. The game is little micro games. And what I tell them – because they're teenage boys again. They're probably thinking about the girl in the fourth row more than they are you, to be honest with you. to be honest. But when you come to that timeout, you go, okay, here we go. Stop, score, stop, game's over, guys. It's 2 minutes. Come on. All we need is like this little mic. And then we play these little micro games. I do these in practice and they're awesome.
That's good.
And they're a little micro. So it's like you get 3 of them. The other team gets 3 of them. We see a win. But they're just like the little micro things. They work so well because they're literally goldfish.
Do you start that? So in Texas, I don't get half my team until December. Because my football team wins a championship almost every year.
Right.
And so that changes the culture because it's more physical guys. They need to get into basketball shape, but they're, you know, many times more intense. better defenders sometimes. And so when do you start those scenarios?
January. I do it after Christmas. Yeah, nothing before. To be honest with you, so let's say you're my rival and I play you in December. If you beat me, first of all, I'm going to do everything to try to beat you. I'm not really worried about that one.
Right.
Like, you beat me, that's great. I'm going to try to win it. And but I'm more worried about January, February, and tourney. And that's right. I'm more worried about getting my defenses in, and here's what help side is, and here's what here's where you don't pick the damn ball up kind of crap in November and December. And then I'm more tweaking in January and February. And then because, to be honest with you, I have to get their attention more. It's I mean, it's not January in Wisconsin's like freaking.
Oh my goodness.
It's like
my in-laws are in Michigan. And so,
so literally, like, when we're done, I'm going to go outside for 4 hours and rake. I got to get out because I know I'm not quoting Game of Thrones, but winter's coming. We're all going inside. So, I mean, I still get outside because the funny thing, I'm going to tell you a funny thing. The funny thing about living in Wisconsin, and I did this with my kids, if you throw them outside after about 5 minutes, they get used to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, when my kids were little, it could be January, and it was like, as soon as we bundled them up and just threw them outside, they were fine. It's like it was summer. They don't know.
It's the same for us in August, just the reverse.
Oh, yeah. Yours is the surface of the sun. Yeah. Oh, my God. I'd rather have that cold. First of all, I haven't figured out where I'm going to retire, but I got to find somewhere to go. And like right now in Wisconsin's awesome.
Yeah.
The windows are open. The leaves are changing. You have the smells. Spring and fall in the upper Midwest is, you know that from Michigan, right? But it's your August and our January, horrible.
Oh, I mean, we're definitely retiring in Michigan somehow. Like, I mean, we'll have some house up there in the summer. And so it's going to be year round.
You do reverse. Like, we're snowbirds. Like, we go the other way. Like, yep. Yeah, we want to go the other way.
It's going to be 99 degrees here this weekend. So we're hunting down pools today and tomorrow. Like,
that's crazy. It's like, it was 78, 79 yesterday. It was a little warm, but it's like 65 and like literally everyone's outside. The leaves, I mean, you can't see my grass in the backyard because of the leaves, but I love it. All right. So, what was the other thing? Oh, so fast break drills. So you'd ask about fast break drills.
Yeah, because I watched that one, podcast, Vimeo that I told you about, where you just went through how to speed up the transition. You had a bunch of different great drills on there.
You got to send me the podcast. You send me the podcast, I'll find the drills for you.
I did, yeah, but I can send it to you again.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember that. The one I was thinking about when you sent that email is – I like the one with 5 and 25. Have you done that drill?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so you put your – let's put your starting five out there, and 25 is virtually impossible. So it's usually 5 and 30. And then everyone's got a score in the fast – so I basically throw it off the board, and then everyone has to score in 25 seconds. Like, all five guys have to score, and they go the opposite way. What they quickly learn is if they dribble, they ain't gonna do it. Okay. Like, it's one dribble, throw it up, kid hits a shot. Now that kid can't shoot the next. Everyone's got to take a shot. If they pass, lay up, the last one tends to be 25. Is you can make it in 5 seconds on an 84-foot floor. You got to move. So the first, I'd probably start in 5 and 30, and then go to 5 and 25. That what I like about that drill is especially with some of your youngsters, it forces them to look up the court. You know what I mean? That's all my drills. I find something like that where you got to I think it was Wooten that showed a drill at a clinic when I was in my 20s or something, and pulled out $100 bill or something, and he says, if you can, you gotta show them that they can pass it faster than they can dribble it.
Yes.
Like if you can go, if you can dribble, and I get, maybe that was it. Maybe you put a guy at the end line and says, you can dribble faster than I can throw the, I'll give you $100. I literally a Ben Franklin. No one can do that. No one can do that. So why aren't we throwing the ball up the floor? You know, the team that you just played threw the ball up the floor pretty well. Like now some of them tried to dribble through like four of your guys, but they were looking, they tended to be looking up. So all my great fast breaking teams, it was boom, boom shot. Like it was like, whoa, I had to slow them up because they were almost too fast. So
I was on a call with Coach Wheeler, you know, from Princeton Masterminds. Yesterday or 2 days ago, about the idea of using the low post series for that secondary transition, you know, like pass it in up the sideline and get it to the low post for a quick shot or, and then start.
Especially with your big guy. Yeah. But then you got to treat, he's got to understand that what it, he has to like with some of my big guys, you have to explain to them what a sprint is. I mean, you literally have to say, this is that's not a sprint. Like, do you want to and the thing is, there's where you feed on their ego again. Do you want to score? Because if you sprint, you will get a layup. If you go 80%, you won't, because the defense will be back down. Like, they don't.
And I'll just say, if I beat you down the court, then we're stopping practice and just running.
Right. Like they it's like. I'm going to pick on my son because he's not home right now.
Yeah.
What he thinks his clean room is and what I think his clean room is two totally separate worlds. It's like that's clean in your world. That's not actually clean. Like, what are you talking about? Like, they think – the problem is they think they're sprinting.
Yeah.
They think they're sprinting, and they're not. Right. Like, yeah. But yeah, I mean, and the second thing with I went back. I don't remember. I talked to a coach about 2 weeks ago about this. But I thought back to the teams that I really got the ball up. Everything I did, we worked on it. Like everything, everything was in the full court. Everything was like, you know, even if we were working on our half court offense or defense, we started here, and we call them one trips in our program. We go the other way one trip. And then we stop at the other end. Like everything has to, because you have to basically brainwash them. Like everything we do. And then the thing is, if you really push it. So here's my theory with this is if you really want to push the ball, you have to push it on makes and misses.
Yeah.
And you have to work on that because they're not going to, if 100% is the ideal, they're still going to do it at 70%. So they're not going to do it all the time, but if you demand all the time, they'll do it at the point where you need it to be. And the same thing with pressing. This is something our staff has been putzing with, is pressing on a miss rather than just waiting on a make. That's really hard. Mm-hmm. And that's something you have to do from day one too.
Okay.
It's hard to put that in January if you're going to press on misses.
Yeah, I'm planning on it based on our last call together. So
yeah, I think you have to. But then that has to be that call. Like, I'm gonna do this, blah, 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 blah. And you have to stop. Nope, do it again. Da, 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 da. But send me that podcast. I don't remember.
Okay.
I've done like 800 of them. I don't remember which one it is. Of course. Yeah. But yeah.
It just the reason I mentioned is that it looked like you had it like as already a packet for a slideshow that you did in that podcast.
I'm sure I do somewhere in my Dropbox. Looks like my office. It's like somewhere, I'm sure it's somewhere in there. I just got to find it. So if I look at it, I'll know what it is.
Yeah. I'm partially being lazy here because I can watch it again.
No. I'll find it. Okay. It's just, I mean, yeah. One late night when I'm not, I just got to go figure out which one it is. And then I should have it in the show notes anyway. So if I don't have it in the show notes, I just got to figure out what it is and where it is. Cause you're probably not the first person to ask, but, I will definitely find it for you.
Okay, great.
All right. Anything else, Coach?
No, that's it.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Great. I hope that helped.
Oh, definitely does.
I'm telling you, I mean, I would tell you if your team was not, there isn't that big of a difference.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
We need to take the next step this year. I have the talent and the depth. So.
And are you concerned about the season at all?
Oh, of course. I'm not. I mean, you know, but I'm trying to be both realistic and hopeful. So.
Hope's a wonderful thing. Hope's a wonderful thing.
Hey, everybody, I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you like it. Go over and check out our other podcasts, High School Hoops, Teacher Side Gig, and then go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.